Greetings, everybody. Welcome to today's national teleconference. The topic for today is 10 Secrets for Dramatically Increasing Your Sales, Part 1. And I am very happy to have on the call with me Gary Garris of Motivation Consultants, Inc. Gary is a member of our coaching team. I've known Gary for going on 2 years now, and he's just been a really valuable member of the team. He's got a lot of background in the flooring industry, including owning his own distributorship. And Motivation Consultants, Inc. does travel incentive programs. And Gary, why don't you just give the listeners a quick background on yourself and Motivation Consultants. And by the way, thank you for taking the time to come on the call today.
You're most welcome, Jim, and thank you very much for the invite. Very good afternoon to everyone on this teleconference call. As Jim mentioned, like so many of you, I too am a veteran of the floor covering industry. I've got, like I say, fuzzy stuff in my blood and always have, seems like. I spent 35 years with, as Jim indicated, a wholesale distributor in the upper Midwest. Throughout those years, I started in my early years by sweeping floors. Ended up cutting carpet and vinyl on my hands and knees, like so many of you got started and maybe still do. Was eventually promoted to branch manager and then ended up buying the company. I had to laugh that when the owner of the company originally had asked me to, as we expanded from Ohio into Michigan, just get up there, Gary, and get started for 1 year. Well, 35 years later, I never came back. So in any event, I sold the business in early 2004 and now am the director of marketing for Motivation Consultants, as Jim Armstrong had indicated. This firm did our merchandise and travel incentive programs for 20-plus years. Our marketing company that develops and administers turnkey travel and merchandise incentive programs for clients. We specialize in group programs for the floor covering industry, and the majority of our clients across the country are either flooring distributors or manufacturers. So I guess I just can't get away from the industry. I still get all the magazines on a weekly basis, and I guess I'll go to my grave with floor covering attached to me. Beyond that, I have a degree in marketing and psychology and have a passion for world travel, hence my occupation now. Throughout my career, I've had the good fortune of visiting and observing hundreds of retail floor covering stores. We were obviously in a service business, and I thought it was very important for me to be there listening to what our customers wanted. And you, in the distribution side of the business, you have one thing to sell, and that's service. But it provided me with a real education and respect for all that you do. I understood your frustrations and very hard work. And obviously, whatever I could bring to the party going on beyond my floor covering days was of interest to me, and hence my coaching association with Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems. To this day, some of my closest friends are still floor covering retailers and who have purchased from us or traveled with us over the years. So again, welcome to the call. Jim, let's get into our topics today. Why don't you once again review for everyone what we're going to cover, and we'll get started.
All right, sounds good, Gary. And by the way, that everything Gary told you is why I wanted him on the team. Trying, always want members of our group to have the most relevant information. And Gary's just a treasure trove of knowledge and background in the industry, and just really glad to have him as part of the team. So today what we're going to cover is part one of the 10 Secrets for Dramatically Increasing Your Sales. And Gary, we're going to do things a little differently today. Gary's going to go ahead and interview me, and we're going to go ahead and get started with that. So, Gary, I'll let you take it from here.
Very good, Jim. To begin with, explain to all of us, what is the secret of reciprocity?
All right. The best way to explain this is through a term called automatic behavior patterns. And I'm going to delve a little bit into some psychology, and I don't want to get too far out there, but really, sales and marketing are a function of demographics and applied psychology. It really helps to understand the mindset and the psychology of your clients and prospects. So I want to talk about that a little bit here up front. And a book that I highly recommend is called Influence, Science and Practice by Robert Cialdini. And the last name is spelled Cialdini. And he's a professor of psychology at Arizona State University. And he goes on to describe in the book that automatic behavior patterns are behavioral responses that are so deeply ingrained in our mental and emotional makeup that under the right conditions, we'll respond with these behaviors almost on autopilot. It's like starting a car. You know, Gary, we turn the key and the car starts automatically. And the rule of reciprocity is one of those automatic behavior patterns. It's just ingrained in us. So what I want to do, Gary, if I could, is give just a few examples of the rule of reciprocity in practice. There was an art appreciation experiment done by a psychologist by the name of Dennis Regan back in 1971. And how this worked was two subjects were put into a room to rate paintings. Now, one of them, I'll call him Joe, was in on the experiment. And he was actually an assistant to this professor. So what would happen is Joe, who was in on the experiment, and the two are sitting there rating these paintings. They did two different versions of this experiment. In version one, Joe goes on a short break and comes back a couple minutes later with two sodas. And he says to the other person, who's not in on the experiment, "Hey, I asked the instructor if I could get a Coca-Cola, and he said it was okay, so I brought you one too," and gives him the soda. Now, in the second version of the experiment, Joe doesn't bring back any sodas. So half the subjects are given the gift of a soda, and half are not. Okay. Now, later on in the session, what happens is Joe asks for a favor. He asks, "Will you buy some raffle tickets for a fundraiser? Any would help, the more the better." And not surprisingly, the people who were given a Coke bought overwhelmingly more raffle tickets than those who weren't given a Coke. Now, here's a part that gets really interesting, Gary. Even the subjects who indicated later that they didn't like Joe, they disliked him, bought just as many raffle tickets as those who did like Joe. So their personal feelings about Joe were not a factor. So the rule of reciprocity actually overloaded those feelings or surpassed those feelings of dislike. That's how powerful this automatic behavior pattern is. Another example, back in the 70s, the Hare Krishnas were well known. And when they first began to try and raise funds for their organization, they would go out on the streets and they dressed strangely. They had their shaved heads, they wore bells and beads, and they chanted. And they would do all of this while approaching total strangers on the street and asking for donations. Well, it was an abysmal failure. People were put off by their behavior. They thought they were weird. There was no trust there. And so people strongly disliked them. So this group had to come up with a way to overcome the intense discomfort and dislike while at the same time retaining their religious rituals. And they had to overcome the dislike enough to actually get people to give them money. And their solution was ingenious. What they did is they gave a gift. And this is where they really became, I would say, infamous, is in airports they would approach people and give them a gift. They'd give them a magazine, the Back to Godhead magazine that was part of their society, or they'd give them a flower. The flower was what they really became well known for. And when they gave somebody the flower, they would just hand it to them or go pin it on them, and they would not accept the gift back under any circumstances. Then they would ask for a donation. Now, this was hugely successful, giving the gift first and then asking for the donation. In fact, it provided big financial gains for their organization. a lot of the people would simply throw the flowers away, and the Krishnas would go pick them out of the trash and re-gift them. So think about this for a minute, Gary. Here is a group, the rule of prosody worked so well for them that even when people were given something they did not want by somebody they didn't like and immediately threw it away, the gift that they got, it still worked. That's how powerful this automatic behavior pattern is. A couple more quick examples. Studies done back in 1993 and 1996 showed that sending a silver dollar or a $5 check in a mailed survey greatly increased the number of people who mailed the completed surveys back. And another study in 1992 showed that sending a $5 check with an insurance survey was a lot more effective than the promise of a $50 check if they mailed back the survey. So even though the $5 is one-tenth of what they could have gotten in the other half of the experiment by the people that were sent were promised $50 if they mailed back the survey, it didn't work as well. The $5 up front given as a gift triggered that automatic behavior pattern, the rule of reciprocity, and it made people want to send back the survey. A study done in 1998 showed that when food servers include a piece of candy or mint with the bill, that it significantly increased tips. And across all business categories, business owners have found that if a customer accepts a gift, he or she is willing to purchase products or services that they otherwise would have declined.
Well, that's very interesting, Jim. But how can the rule of reciprocity apply to flooring retailers?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's a lot of ways to do this, and I'll mention a couple of them. One way is if somebody comes into your store, give them a gift. It can be a soda, coffee, cookies, anything. Offer them a gift, and that may seem small, especially you give them a 50-cent soda, or a 50-cent cup of coffee, or what have you. And they're in there to buy $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 worth of flooring. It seems like, well, that's not going to make any difference. But it does. The size of the gift doesn't really matter. The fact is that you've given them something, and it triggers that automatic behavior pattern. Another thing you can do is if you want something from your client, say a referral, send them a gift ahead of time. You could send them a gift certificate to Starbucks or something like that. So think of the idea is to think ways you can give your clients a gift ahead of time to elicit the behavior that you want, and it can be a very powerful strategy.
That's a great strategy, Jim. Let's get into the next area, and that is, what is the secret of the 80-10-10 pricing rule?
I learned this, Gary, years back, the 80-10-10 rule, and it really helped me. And here's the way this works. Only 10% of the population buys on price. They don't care about quality, don't care about guarantees, they don't care about good service. All they care about is price. Now, of course, from area to area, that 10% can fluctuate a little bit. But as a rule, about 10% of the population are hardwired to pay the cheapest price they can. So when it comes to selling, the first thing you want to do is identify if that person is one of the 10%. And if you discover that they are, you really don't want them as clients, because that 10% that is hardwired to be price shoppers and care nothing about price also seem to be hardwired to be the most provide the most complaints, the most problems, the most recalls, everything you can imagine. Problem wise, they have more of it. So they have two strikes against them. They don't want to pay for good service, and second of all, they're going to complain and make your life miserable. So send them to your competitors. You don't want to mess with those kind of clients. The second 10% at the top buy only on quality. They don't care about price. They are hardwired to want the best. And if you order three different levels of service, three different grades of carpet, three different grades of linoleum or vinyl, three different grades of laminate, they're going to pick the top one just because it's the top. They want the best. Now, in between those two groups are the 80% that will pay a higher price if you show them why it's in their best interest to do so. So you've got to demonstrate to that 80% why they should pay your price and why it's in their best interest. Now, all other things being equal, Gary, these people will buy from the lowest price. And all things being equal, they should buy from the lowest price. And let me say that again. All things being equal, they should buy from the lowest price. So let's say your competitor is selling beige cut pile carpet, and you're selling beige cut pile carpet, and you've done such a poor job differentiating your store and your products from the competition that to your prospect, everything else between your two companies appears to be equal. Well, they'd be an idiot to pay the higher price, right? They're just paying a higher price for no reason. So don't treat your clients like idiots, expecting them to buy from you, let alone pay at a higher price, just because you give them some product literature and a smile. Your job as a sales professional is to create an unequal situation. Okay, I said a minute ago, all things being equal, they should buy from the lowest price. Your job as a salesperson, a sales professional, is to create an unequal situation. You want your you want your prospects and clients comparing apples to oranges, never apples to apples. And some ways to do this are using overwhelming, demonstrable proof that you are different. And we're going to get into several of those during today's call, Gary. One up front that I'll mention is guarantees and warranties. Most flooring dealers don't, you know, promote these correctly, or they're afraid of it, or what have you. So if you have a good guarantee or a warranty, you should use that as a way to create the differentiation from your competitors. Anybody on the line today who's a Platinum Inner Circle member, you've got access to the 100% Ironclad Triple Guarantee, the Zero Regrets Guarantee, all the copy and verbiage that goes with that. And you should be definitely making that available and shouting it from the rooftops. It's a great way to create that differentiation. Another way to create differentiation is total professionalism, which we're going to cover in detail in just a few minutes here. And then also testimonials, and we'll cover that in a little while as well.
Okay, Jim. So then what is the secret of social proof?
Okay. The unspoken question on every prospect's mind, the unspoken question on every prospect that walks through your door or looks at one of your ads or marketing pieces is this: why should I do business with you versus every competitive option available to me, including doing nothing? Now, I mentioned a minute ago that you need to provide overwhelming, demonstrable proof that you're different from your competitors. You want to prove to your clients that it would be in their best interest to buy from you versus, you know, any competitive option available to them. And testimonials are a great way to do this. So if I was forced to use a single strategy to create differentiation, Gary, if someone held a gun to my head and said, pick a strategy for differentiation, I would be using testimonials. Because what you have to say is, what others have to say about you is 10,000 times more effective and more meaningful than what you say about yourself. And, you know, you want to use testimonials everywhere you can. Use them in your, your websites, any marketing that you do. You want to constantly be reminding people why they should be doing business with you. And social proof in the form of testimonials is an excellent way to do that. Also, photos. You know, carry a digital camera. It's just not that hard to take photos of your clients and put them into your marketing pieces and so forth. And again, you want to use photos in the same place where you use your testimonials. They go together. People want to do business with people, Gary, not with big impersonal corporations. And by including photos, you're just showing that you are a real live human being who has real live flesh and blood human beings as the clients. So it can be very, very effective form of social proof.
Okay. Then, Jim, beyond that, another one of the secrets you referred to earlier for increasing sales was mindset. Please explain that.
Okay. This is a huge topic of mindset, and we're just not going to be able to cover it at length and in depth during this call. We could do an entire day or an entire week of seminars on mindset. But I can, what I want to do is highlight several important points, because you've got to remember that being successful in sales is 90% mental. The first thing you want everybody listening to this call wants to do is realize that sales is an honorable and critical profession. Okay? Our society tends to, you know, make jokes about sales and salespeople and so forth and so on. The caricature or the stereotype of the vacuum cleaner salesman sticking his foot in the door and just won't take no for an answer, or the used car salesman. Okay? Those kinds of images have given sales or salespeople a negative reputation. And I'm here to tell you that it is completely undeserved. Now, maybe in the used car industry or the new car industry it is. There are certain industries, of course, where the salespeople don't behave honorably. But sales is an honorable and critical profession, and I want everybody listening to this to realize that nothing happens until a sale is made. Okay? The store, the building, the warehouse, your trucks, installers, administrative staff, the warehouse staff, that's all overhead. They don't produce any revenue. They exist to support you, the salesperson. Now, that doesn't mean the store and the warehouse and the trucks and the installers are not necessary. They are. But they don't produce sales. They are overhead. They're all to support you as the salesperson. That's how important you are and how important being a salesperson is for your company, whether you're the owner or whether you're listening to this and you're one of the sales team. Okay, it's very important. The second thing that I want to mention about mindset is being a trusted advisor. Your clients need you. On their own, they simply cannot stay informed on the tens of thousands of products available to them, and they need your expertise and your education. Okay, your clients don't know anything about flooring. The hour they spend surfing the web gives them a little bit of information, but certainly not enough. So they need your help, and it can be overwhelming, the huge selection that's available to them. So you want to make sure that you're taking your prospects on a step-by-step sales process that takes them on a logical progression from being shoppers to buyers. Okay? That's part of being a trusted advisor. You're not an order taker. Okay, that's, you know, it's anybody can say, okay, here's the beige cut pile carpet, and it's this much per square foot. Anybody can do that, and then just simply take the order. It takes real sales professionalism to lead clients on a logical progression from shoppers into buyers, and it should create. Any process that you have like this should create total differentiation from your competitors, and it's worth sitting down and putting together a system that you and your sales team can follow step by step, done the same way every time. Again, if you're a platinum member on this call, you have access to the design audit that does this, and you should be making use of that. Takes them on a logical step-by-step process from the time they walk in the door until they are handing you the check through the installation and then the follow-up to get the referrals. You want to So what, but whether or not you have access to that or not, that's what you want as part of your sales process. The step by step where somebody comes in the door and you take control of the sales process. Because if you're if you don't have a system for selling, you're going to be at the mercy of your client's system for buying. Okay? The next thing you want to remember in mindset is carry yourself like a professional. And we're going to cover this more in a minute, but remember that you want to be seen as the trusted advisor, like a family doctor. You don't want to be seen as the used car salesman. So stand up straight. Look your clients in the eye. Speak directly. Okay, dress the part. Now, that doesn't mean you have to wear a three-piece suit, but you know, wear slacks, you know, nice shoes, a polo shirt with your company logo and name on it. Just look like a professional and make sure your sales team and your staff do as well. Carry yourself like a professional, okay? And the final thing I want to mention regarding mindset is being able to shake it off. Now, how many times have you been blown out of the water the first thing in the morning by somebody who wants to beat you up on price or what have you? You get a client that's just a real pain in the butt and they just want to totally wreck your day, and you let it wreck your day. Well, then the rest, they come in first thing in the morning and you deal with somebody like that. Well, then you don't sell as much. You're not as able to communicate confidently to the rest of the people that come in that day. So, again, this is a total product of mindset. So you've got to learn how to reset and shake it off if you run into that occasional client that's really just trying to tear you down or beat you up on price. Think about football players. You know, what if in the first quarter of the game a team scores a touchdown and the other team just completely falls apart? Okay? That team is not going to win very many games, because if they have a setback, they're just going to let it affect their entire mood, their motivation, how they try for the rest of the game. They can't let it impact the rest of the game, and that's what shaking it off is all about. Now, what I want to do next, Gary, is part of shaking it off is talk about something that some people consider kind of harsh, so what I am about to tell you, again, some people think it's a little harsh, but it's something that I practice, and, you know, you can take it or leave it. If it's something that, you know, you feel is right for you or not, that's up to you. But I want to tell people, because it's been very useful to me over my years of selling. Keeping in mind that selling is all about mindset, it's very, very important for you to guard that mindset. Okay? You don't want people to steal your peace, your confidence, your feeling of well-being. You don't want that to be at the mercy of other people. You want to protect that. And one of the ways that I protect that is my tail between the legs rule. And this only applies to the most difficult clients that you're probably not going to get a sale from anyway, but it's all about you holding your head up and you keeping that confidence and the mindset that's necessary so you can go on with your day and your week and not let these people blow you out of the water. So let's say you've got somebody that says, hey, you're $50 more than the other guy. Well, then I would say something like, well, here's a list of 50 testimonials from super satisfied clients. Did the other guy provide you with a stack of written testimonials proving that they provide exceptional hassle-free service? No. You mean you're willing to trust a company that doesn't even have testimonials from past clients? Is that smart to do just to save a few bucks? And then shut up and listen. First one talks, loses. One thing as a salesperson you need to get good at is the first one talks, loses game. And most people are familiar with that. But how it works is you make a statement, you ask a question, and then you shut up and listen. And the magic of that is most people can't stand the silence. You let the silence go on for 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. Most people are going to say something. So when you ask somebody a question, wow, is that smart to do just to save a few bucks? Okay. There about 5 seconds went by. And that puts it's like martial arts where you put a pressure hold on somebody. You're not hurting them, but they can't move. Okay, you're forcing them to think about what they're telling you, and to have an answer. Here's another way you could handle this. Somebody says, "Hey, you're $50 more than the other guy." Say something like, "Well, on this flyer, you'll see that we have our 100% ironclad triple guarantee. Do they offer these guarantees in writing?" "No." "Wow, you mean in order to save a few bucks, you're willing to trust a company that doesn't guarantee their service in writing? Doesn't that sound a little short-sighted?" And then shut up and listen. And again, this is somebody that I figure I'm probably going to lose the sale anyway, so I'll do these as kind of a Hail Mary pass. And the main thing is, if somebody is going to leave that kind of a situation where somebody's being confrontational, being difficult, and everybody on the call knows the kind of person that I'm talking about, this isn't just somebody who's asking the price, this is somebody who's difficult, I figure if one of us is going to leave the conversation with their tail between their legs, it's going to be the other person, not me, because I want to guard my mindset, and I want to be able to spend the rest of the day having confidence and being an effective salesperson. So again, mindset is so important. One of the things that you can do is of course, being on these coaching calls, hearing from others who face the same things that you have, reading books that are about sales and marketing, anything you can do to keep the proper mindset, to keep yourself motivated, and realizing that you are offering your clients an incredibly valuable service. The flooring is one of the biggest interior decorating decisions that most people will ever make, and it's a big investment, and how their floors look affects how their entire home looks, and it goes on and on. So you're providing an incredibly valuable service, helping them find the flooring that is going to last the longest, that is going to be the right fit for their unique situation, okay? Very valuable, and I want everybody on this call to go away realizing this. And again, that goes back to being able to shake it off. When somebody is giving you problems, somebody's being difficult, you've got to learn how to shake that off so that it doesn't affect the rest of your day and your week.
Well, Jim, those are some great tips on mindset. But let's get into one of the other secrets, one of the other 10 secrets that you had mentioned earlier, and that is total professionalism. Please elaborate to our listeners about total professionalism.
Sure. What I'm going to do right now is, in a few minutes, we are actually going to open it up for Q&A. And so what I'm going to do is turn on the Q&A queue. If you would like to ask Gary or I any questions, or if you have any comments, a success story about anything we've talked about, or just, you know, have a question, what you want to do is press *6 on your touch tone phone, and that'll put you into the Q&A queue, and then we'll get you on. So again, if you have any questions or comments, press *6 on your touch tone phone, and it'll put you in the queue, and we'll take those questions in a few minutes if anybody has any. The secret of total professionalism, remember what we talked about a few minutes ago, being the trusted advisor. You want to be seen more like a family doctor or a family accountant, not like a used car salesman. You don't want to be seen like a hustler. And I know that everybody that's taken the time to be on this call most likely does not fit into that category. You're on this call because you care about your business, because you care about being successful, because you're interested in taking your business to the next level. So being the trusted advisor is very important, and I want you to keep that image of the family physician in mind, okay? Think about what the family doctor does when they conduct business. First of all, what you should do is be scheduling your week in advance. Sit down on a Monday or a Friday and schedule out the following week. what times you're going to focus on marketing, when you're going to focus on implementing systems into your business, okay, so that you are not just flying by the seat of your pants, you actually have a game plan in place. Next thing is dress like a pro, and we talked about that a few minutes ago, and your whole staff should. And again, this doesn't have to be wearing a tuxedo, but dressing professionally, wear nice shoes. What I've done in the past is I used to buy Rockports, and they look like dress shoes, but they feel like tennis shoes. They're very light, very, very comfortable because you're on your feet all day. Well, those are great. They look very professional. Again, but they're very comfortable. Just a tip there. Slacks, nice belt, polo shirt with the company logo on it. If you wear jeans, make sure that they're in very good repair, clean, so forth. And make sure you do the same thing for your staff. It's not a big investment to make to have everybody dressed so that they look professional, you have a uniform look, and the same with your installers. They're ambassadors for your store, okay? When they go into somebody's house, you may think the sale is over, but in reality, the biggest part of the sale is just beginning, and that's getting referrals and testimonials. And your installers should be a good reflection on your store. It doesn't do any good up to, you know, when they come in the store, you take them through a good sales process, step-by-step process like we talked about. You offer them a gift. You do these things that set yourself up as a professional, and the installers go out and, you know, they're wearing a ripped-up AC/DC shirt and smoking in the driveway and don't clean up after themselves. You want your installation team to be total professionals as well, and that starts with the way they dress. So make sure that they're wearing a uniform as well. And again, it can be just clothes that are neat, clean, and good repair, and a polo shirt with your company's logo and name on it. A firm handshake. There's nothing worse than shaking hands with somebody. It feels like you're shaking hands with a dead fish. Make sure you've got a good, firm handshake. And look your clients in the eye, okay? Think about when you've gone to the doctor. They ask you questions, and they look at you. They communicate with you, and part of that is good eye contact. Stand up straight. The way you carry yourself, your posture, communicates confidence, communicates professionalism, okay? If you're not sure, if you do these things, you know, firm handshake, look your clients in the eye, stand straight. Talk to your spouse, okay, or talk to somebody that you trust in your organization that would give you honest feedback. Whether you're a sales team member or whether you're the owner of the store, you want to make sure that you carry yourself as a professional. And again, I keep going back to the family doctor. When you sit down with your family doctor, most of them are very good at exuding confidence and professionalism, and that's what you want to do. Next thing is about being a total professional is be a man or woman of your word. Do what you say you're going to do. It sounds like a very simplistic thing, but lots of people don't do it. And I got to tell you, contractors tend to be the worst at it. I can't tell you how many times I have had contractors in either to do drywall repair or landscaping or any number of repairs around the house, and I wind up going with the person who calls me back or just shows up. I can't tell you how many times I've been stood up by contractors. Generally, flooring retailers are better about that, but there's a lot of improvement that can be made in terms of returning phone calls, showing up on time. When you head out to somebody's house as a salesperson to do the in-home visit, you should call them and let them know you're on your way. And you should also operate your appointments within a time window. You know, something that I've done is we would make an appointment for, you know, between 9 and 10. You can do that. Or you can make it for it exactly. And that works well for installers because they oftentimes a job can go a little short, a little long. So you give them, you know, a little bit of cushion there. As far as a sales team members showing up, you should be able to stick fairly close to the exact time and not need to have that window. But if that is something that happens, you find yourself, you know, getting on jobs and the measures take longer than they should and so forth and so on, using a window on your schedule can be a big help in that regard. Be honorable. Be trustworthy. In other words, if you're going to be a trusted advisor, it means you have to be trustworthy. You order, somebody wants high-grade cushion for their carpeting, and you get the shipment in and the distributor made a mistake and sent you a lower-grade cushion. Well, it'd be real easy to go put that in and just hope they don't notice, and they may not. But a trustworthy, honorable person will call them up and say, hey, there was a problem. They sent us the wrong material. We're going to need to reschedule your installation for a couple of days later. Will this time or this time work better for you? And people will appreciate that you're being honest with them. Under-promise and over-deliver. Okay? If you think that a shipment is most likely going to arrive on Wednesday, tell them that it'll be there on or before Friday. Okay, give yourself a couple of days of cushion. That way, if it does show up on Wednesday, you're a hero. And if it does take until Friday, you don't have an egg on your face. Okay, do this in everything. Another classic example is, somebody buys Berber carpet. People sometimes have the mistaken notion that all seams and all different kinds of carpeting should be invisible. Well, you know that on a Berber or any kind of really low pile carpet, that's hard to achieve, if not impossible. So you want to be honest and upfront with them about that. And that's just one of dozens of examples. When anybody's buying flooring, being honest with them about how it's going to perform, what they can expect, and under-promise and over-deliver. And the final thing is listening. You know, when you go in to see the doctor, the first thing that you walk into their office, the doctor doesn't go, hey, what kind of drugs can we get for you today? Or, hey, what kind of drugs did you have in mind? No, they sit down and begin to ask you questions. Hey, but what's the first thing that most salespeople ask flooring retailers? Most salespeople ask prospects when they walk in. What did you have in mind? What are you looking for? Okay. And that's not what a trusted advisor does. Trusted advisor asks questions and they listen. And using those, that demonstrates that you care about the client. It demonstrates that you are a total professional, that you respect them, and it sets you apart from the other dealers. Well, Gary, it looks like we don't have it. We're just about wrapped up, and it doesn't look like we have any questions at this point. So why don't we finish up with the last interview question.
Okay, great. Jim, you actually had one bonus secret today, and that was called ready, aim, fire, 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 fire. What is that?
Okay. Actually, this is a saying of Ross Perot. Most people say when they engage in business activities or strategies, they say, ready, aim, fire. And Ross Perot said, ready, aim, fire, 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 fire. In other words, don't just depend on one thing to generate more sales or generate more profits, etc., especially in the kind of economy we're facing right now. You need to ready, aim, fire, 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 which means that all of the strategies we've talked about, don't just do one of them, do them all. Get them all implemented in your business. And next on the next National Teleconference, we're actually going to do part two of this, and you'll want to take those strategies that we talk about and implement them all in your business. Ready, aim, fire, 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 fire. Especially, again, in the economy that we are having today. Okay, looks like we don't have any questions right now. So, Gary, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. Again, thank you so much, Gary, for coming on, taking the time to be here today, and really appreciate it.
Okay, Jim, great. And thanks to all the listeners for taking part. One thing that I might add is that I firmly believe, after visiting so many retailers for so many years and constantly hearing as I left the stores, when I said, is there anything else that we can do for you? How's the service? How's our customer service? All this, that, and the other. How's our delivery trucks? The thing that I always heard was, bring me more customers. And I firmly believe that you control your own destiny. Even in an economy like we're going through today, you should be commended for at least taking part in the Jim Armstrong marketing systems. Even if you pick up a few tidbits here and there, it is going to definitely differentiate you from your competition, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be successful and profitable. So, Jim, thank you again for letting me take part today, and the best of good selling to all of our listeners.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Gary. And until next time, everybody, happy marketing.